Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Locked On Vikings postcast, what will unfortunately be the last one for the 2022 season as the Vikings fall third. Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that. As the Vikings fall 31-24, see, we're all out of sorts here. That's going to be it. Vikings lose in the wild card round. They lose at home in a game with all kinds of stuff that goes terribly wrong. But ultimately, one of the least weird games the Vikings play on the season. I'm here with Sam Ekstrom. I am Luke Braun. We've been doing this all season. And I'm just bummed, man. I'm just sad. It's like
you were there. You were in the stadium. You made the trip.
I flew all the way out here, made the trip, went out. We did some pretty fun stuff for the football party out in a park in the snow. And go to the stadium, and it's like, man, that was a lot of stuff to go out and do for the defense to lay that kind of egg. Felt like they didn't practice. And that's, I think, the story of this offseason is going to be, how do you fix the defense?
You go into this offseason, I think, with the mindset of almost liberated to say, we're not attached to anything.
Nothing's coordinator, I agree.
That's personnel. Veterans that you've loved for many years. This was so rough of a performance. 3 days after Ed Donatell stood up there with a straight face and talked about the defense shining in the playoffs. You're going to like what you see from the defense. And you've got Patrick Peterson, Harrison Smith, Eric Kendricks, Danielle Hunter, Za'Darius Smith, Harrison Phillips. There is talent on paper with that group. And between scheme and underperformance from some key guys, dismal. And if you want to tear it down to the studs, you can. I mean, it's the offensive upside with this team remains so high. We said this last year too. We thought we couldn't possibly see a worse defense, and we kind of did, at least on the same level. I would say
I got to repin that tweet. It can always get worse. Anyone who says, can't get worse.
It got worse.
I've been a Vikings fan for long enough, I think.
I think it got worse. but shuffle the deck again. Change the scheme. Change the personnel. Go younger. Your offensive upside and ceiling is still so high that I think you can just freely make moves, save cash. If you want to reinvest that money in the offense, by all means, just shuffle the deck and see if you can get up to 20th next year defensively. This was an alarming defensive performance. But tell me what you thought in person. I thought Harrison Smith and Eric Kendricks looked terrible.
I don't think you have a blameless person in the building, to be honest. Patrick Peterson got killed sometimes. Duke Shelley got killed sometimes. I thought Harrison Phillips had kind of a nightmare game. Kendricks, I think Hicks looked like I would show him the door very quickly with Asamoah coming in under him. And
that's an easy one. Contract makes that easy if you want to do that.
And it was built for that. The contract was built for it to really be 1 year, and then we decide on a second year. And I think that's an easy decision. And I think a lot of the decisions are easy. If you want to talk about guys like Harrison Smith and Adam Thielen, everybody's going to talk about their cap hit. It's probably a really easy one to rework. I think those are not going to be difficult situations to resolve. There's something you got to do, but it's free to do it. But I agree with you that I don't think a single thing is bolted down here. I think the reasons the defense died were they really have, for the last 5 weeks or so, have been playing cover one, rush four. Let's all just match up and try to win. Right. And they just haven't had the dudes to do that. That's why they weren't doing it for the first 14 games. But you had to change something with the way that zone defense did. And the Vikings just lost all their matchups. They decided we were going to line up and play the Giants straight up. They played the Giants straight up and they lost. And the Giants were the better team. Hats off to them. They get to go and they deserve it. And, you know, hopefully they can go upset Philly. That'd be pretty fun. But the how ill-prepared they were for this game and for a lot of the games this year, how ill-prepared they were to pass off coverages, to break on things, to read on things. I mean, the Giants were not inventing new things here. They were not running anything, and half of it was just Daniel Jones just getting out of the pocket and scrambling. And it's like, get a spy on him. And then Brian Asamoah gets concussed and out of the game. So unfortunately, he would be your spy. But like, get Metellus in there to do it. Oh my God. Just getting beat by the same thing over and over like that, getting beat in the flat so bad like that. Like, you didn't make the Giants really do anything outside of their comfort zone. So they just got to sit and do what they wanted to do all game long. And they put up 431 yards on you, which is the final tally. 260 in the first half. After the first two drives, they were averaging 19 yards a play. They punted twice. Man, you could probably just spend an hour rattling off defensive stats for just how pitiful that unit was. And I don't think anybody is beyond reproach from the established superstars that have been in this organization for a decade to staff members, not only Donatel, who I'll get to him next, but not only Donatel, but also lower members of the staff. I mean, the secondary was not ready to play. That's on the DB coach. You know, the linebackers were not ready to play. This team was not ready to play, and they haven't really been ready to play all year on the defensive side of the ball, which is a shame because I think the offense had a playoff-worthy day. It wasn't perfect, but it looked like it belonged in the postseason. The defense looked like it didn't belong in the preseason. It's disgusting. And I guess that leads me to the next thing to talk about, which is, have we now seen the last of Ed Donatel as defensive coordinator of the Vikings? Everybody's calling for it. There's certainly an argument for it. My whole thing on it has been, you know, we all agree that there's a problem with the defense. We don't necessarily agree on the best way to solve it. So does this solve those problems? I think with how poorly prepared and poorly incorporated the scheme was. I mean, these players were not taught well. I don't think the defensive coaches were good teachers this year. And that is a good reason, you know, to get rid of them. But I don't know, Sam, what do you think?
Yeah. I think you could be ushering in a younger generation of defense very soon. Next year and the year after, there's going to be tremendous turnover. I would rather have somebody fresher, younger, more innovative, not trying to be ageist, but for the reasons that you pointed out. Like, if Donatel did with the Vikings what he did with the Broncos last year, I wouldn't be saying this. Like, this is results-driven, results-based. Having to have the head coach basically self-scout him with 3 weeks left in the year before he made any changes, and then really not making very effective changes. You know, it's entirely different, but it kind of feels like the Norv Turner dynamic a little bit, where, you know, you tried to squeeze a couple more years out of Norv, you know, when you knew it wasn't working very well, and then it ended badly. I would rather have fresh eyes bringing in this younger defense, because if you weren't good teachers with vets, how is it going to go with younger guys? I guess maybe they're more malleable, but it'd be great to get some new hands on that group and just see if you can get a different result, because it's going to be really hard to wash the stink off this defensive performance. And if you see more of this to start next year, then this is the narrative every single week. I don't know if this franchise needs that. Not when the offense is still so primed to be this good. And Kevin O'Connell did not endorse him. He did not say no.
That was an interesting answer, wasn't it?
There would be changes. Arif Hasan asking the tough question.
I will. Butt in. Ben Gessling has been talking all week about how there are whispers, I guess, that he's, you know, kind of a vibe that he gets that Ed Donatel was coaching for his job. And if that were the case, that's not the best job interview we've ever seen.
And Ben's pretty informed, so I would take that reporting seriously. And, you know, midseason too, when asked if there'd be a change at play caller, KOC kind of hemmed and hawed, right? I mean, it felt like he didn't have a lot of conviction at that point. Imagine how that sits now after what we just witnessed. Mm-hmm. Some people tweeting out the number of explosives the Giants had, like
just
13
disgusting
plays over 10 yards, something along those lines. Didn't have a third down attempt until the third drive when they already had 14 points on the board. And then The final drive, man, I mean, just demoralizing to see them convert after third down, fourth down, time and time again. I don't know what the time of possession victory was for them, but it had to be overwhelming.
Yeah, and the Vikings had strung together a lot of their own long drives as well. So you end up with a weird game where, you know, the Giants, it felt like the Giants had the best offensive day in history, and they got 31, which is a very good day. But I think if you extrapolate it to a normal 12 possession game, they're putting up 40 on you. Just the way that felt, and efficient, like drive efficiency and stuff. But let's flip it over and talk about what the offense did. We saw very little Justin Jefferson, another huge TJ Hockenson day. We'll talk about the 4th-and-8 play at the end. But first, this postcast, as always, is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your one-stop shop for all things sports betting. You could pop into the Ravens-Bengals game as we record this, I believe is pretty tight. You could go bet right now on who you think is going to win, even though it's after kickoff. You can also build crazy prop bets and all sorts of that stuff. You can find all of that at Bet Online. You could also watch a different sport, which, you know, some of you might need that for a little bit. And you could go bet on the Timberwolves of the Wild if you want to go get your heart broken a different way. Whatever you want to do to ease the pain, you can find it at betonline.net, where the game starts. Let's move to the offensive side of the ball. I am curious to see what the defense is, and we could sit here and bellyache about it forever, but let's not do that because there's more positive on the offensive side of the ball. I think the offense is a lot closer to a complete unit. I look at the defense and I think, man, like 9 or 10 of these guys could go, and the whole stat, like you could get rid of everything and it would make sense. With the offense, you're going, they're going to have a new center. You know, maybe you do something different at one of the wide receiver positions if you wanted to get rid of Thielen's. You're fiddling a little bit. You're not blowing up the whole thing. And I think that that's appropriate because the offense had no margin for error at all with the way the defense played. And they were in it till the end. Not a lot from Justin Jefferson. From my eye, it looked like he was really never not double covered. I mean, it was just, there's a guy over top of him all the time. It's what they've seen all year long. And it is a bummer that they weren't able to find ways to get him open. But at the same time, why get Justin Jefferson open when TJ Hockenson's putting up like $130 on him? Just keep converting third downs to TJ Hockenson and scoring every drive. And they more or less kept pace with what the Giants were doing until the very end. You had a touchdown drive. You were down by a touchdown and you got the ball with 3 minutes to go. You didn't get there. And that was ultimately the failure. So I guess let's start with that, because that's the elephant in the room, really. What are your immediate thoughts on the 4th-and-8 complete to Hockenson, tackle behind the line, 4th down?
Well, the worst thing Cousins said after the game, and I get it. He said, just wanted to, you know, keep the ball in play, not get sacked on the final play. And he's right. He was half a second away from getting hit. So he needed to release the ball in that second. But the worst thing he said was, I didn't feel good about throwing the ball up to Justin there. What?
That was
the guy you threw it up to numerous times in key situations and got paid off for it. Who cares about double coverage in that situation? It doesn't matter if it's picked. Doesn't matter if it's a tough catch. You know what's tough? Getting away from a defender who's blanketed you 5 yards short of the line of scrimmage. It's a horrible play. It can all be true. The defense can be the reason the game was blown, and Kirk Cousins made a terrible decision, and Kirk Cousins played a great game. That does not erase that.
Yes.
All of that is true. Terrible decision. And it was so nonchalant, too. It was almost like Kirk didn't really try to flee the pocket. He had too much confidence in that throw. He seemed very comfortable making it, which is, that's Kirk 2018. That's Kirk 20. Like, that's old Kirk. He didn't make those blunders all year. And then when the season was on the line, he didn't throw it up to his guy. That's disappointing. I'm also holding KJ Osborne accountable for not hauling in a catchable ball to play before.
Sure.
And there are plenty of other things you can point back to. So hate the decision by Kirk. Also not going to crucify him for the game that was played. I thought he played a very good game. And I also think that the concern level over just Jefferson's lack of production needs to correlate with how the offense is performing. So if it's Green Bay, where the offense is stagnant, literally non-existent, and Justin Jefferson's getting shut down, then the conversation needs to be, how do you succeed as an offense when he's being covered? When you're doing what you did today, which is move the ball very consistently and score 24, and you know, obviously they came up short in a couple possessions where you'd like to see more, but that's still a good offensive day in my book. That's how you do it. That's how you work when Justin Jefferson is being covered pretty well. So I'm not upset with that part. I think that's going to happen for the rest of Jefferson's career.
Mm-hmm.
He's a target. He's going to get shut down sometimes.
And
they got
if you punish
early.
It, yeah. If they're going to do that, punish them by throwing it to Hockenson. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think Hockenson should be on this team for a long time. I think that's a priority they should make. So I'm really not that alarmed by the offensive day. It kind of felt like 2020 or 2021 at the end when you were begging Kirk to come up with the big drive, and he didn't. But he put on film so many times this year that he can.
Yeah, and so many times this year, and he didn't do it when it was the season.
Yeah,
it's such a bummer.
I don't think this negates that. I think it's now part of who Kirk is. I think Kirk has evolved into someone that is more trustworthy than not in those situations. I think I would prefer to focus more on why they were in those situations. And part of that can be pinned on bad run game, questionable play calling at times, overall a really terrible defense. And the margin for error was so small, razor thin, that I think a lot of local and national prognosticators assumed this might be how it ended, where you just couldn't come up with that one final drive. And that's what happened.
Sure. And yeah, I no decisions will be made off the last play, right? They'll be made off the body of work as a whole, right? And that this will only be one play in it. And this is a bad play for a lot of players, and it'll count, but it won't be the whole thing. But it'll get talked about a lot because it was 4th and 8, and it was the moment everybody was watching, right? For my money, I think the idea of throwing it up to Jefferson there, at least I haven't seen the full all 22 yet, but I've at least seen the dots, and you can see a safety coming over there. And that looks like one where I don't know if you can throw it over that safety. But I think if we wanted to ask him to throw a deep one, KJ Osborne was beat pretty bad on like a middle search route, but you could maybe try to throw it up high and see if he can't go get it, or throw a fade to Thielen, who was one-on-one. I would have rather seen that, but that little option route, which is what Hockenson did, Hockenson ran a bad route there, and he had a phenomenal game. So again, mm-hmm. one play in it. That was a bad, he got bumped off it really bad, and he came about 3 yards back for it. If he can flatten that out and run it a little bit more, you know, keep his depth. And if Cousins can throw that leading him a little bit instead of having him come back for it, then he can catch it in stride. He turns up field, and we're never talking about this at all. We're talking about what a great conversion by TJ Hockenson. Maybe we're going to, you know, throw behind the sticks, but at least he got it. And this is not the play at all we're talking about. But beyond that, I think it was Bradbury who had a nightmare day. And Ezra Cleveland also had a nightmare day. I think Ed Ingram might have had like the game of his life, but it was kind of a drop in the bucket.
Cousins not sacked, though. Noteworthy.
He got rid of it a couple of times impressively a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But Dexter Lawrence was all over the pocket in that play and in many plays. So, I mean, you can look at about 5 different people and say that play was their fault and probably not be that wrong about it. And it was just, you know, not the kind of play you need to have on 4th and 8. But like you said, being in that situation in the first place points to the much larger issue. And that's going to be what this offseason focuses on. We're going to talk a lot about it. I mean, we'll keep talking on the Minnesota Football Party, I'm sure, about how the Vikings are going to deal with some of the cap decisions that they have to make. They've got a Kirk Cousins decision to make this offseason. He's going into a contract year, and he hates playing on contract years. So I'm sure you have an extend him or do something else, or maybe you do the contract year. I think there's choices there. There's a lot of other stuff to talk about. I certainly won't be slowing down on Locked On Vikings. We'll keep this 5 days a week. I don't know what the plan is for some of the other Locked On Minnesota sports shows, but please do tune in to Locked On Minnesota Sports. Sam, any parting words for the last postcast, probably till the draft?
Thanks for tuning in. And truly, I know we're turning the page quickly here. I'm actually pretty energized to talk about the roster deconstruction, reconstruction that's about to go on. There are a lot of very fascinating decisions. Unfortunately, this is not a team that is young and growing. This is a team that's old and expensive, and it's hard to part with people. Change is hard. You love these guys. But I think that it opens the door for change that can be good. And on defense, shouldn't be attached. Shouldn't be too attached to what has been one of the worst in the league now for three straight years. So as hard as that'll be, I think that it's going to be an eventful offseason. Might be a hard offseason. Might also be a fun offseason just to see how Kwesi navigates this. Mm-hmm. Kwesi put together a 13-win team when it looked pretty bleak last year. We'll see how he handles the cap this year, the decisions he makes. It's all very new with this front office now. So that excites me. Make sure you stay tuned to Luke's coverage, my coverage, all over the Locked On family. Should be fun.
And a very special and heartfelt thank you to everybody who has tuned into all of these postcasts all year long. It has been truly awesome to pop in live. You guys are going crazy in the chat right now, and that's super awesome. More people who listen to it after the fact, love you too. Love you just as much. And everybody who tuned in to Locked On Vikings and the football party and Ron's show and Superior Sports Talk and everything here on the Locked On Network covering the Vikings. Really, it's special stuff. We had a very special season, and that's worth remembering. That this one was fun, and it sucks, and we can be mad for a while and you know, grieve how you have to with the loss of a season. But this season was a lot of fun, and I hope that we can look back on it in the future and remember this was the year with the crazy Bills game, with the crazy comeback game, with all the really fun stuff. Yeah, they didn't go anywhere in the playoffs. But for a first-year head coach to come in, rip off 13 games, maybe got a little lucky for some of them, but I don't know, take three of them away, that's still a winning season, right? Really hard to argue that they shouldn't have had a winning season. And a winning season in your first year as a head coach with a bunch of guys you inherited and didn't pick, and a bunch of guys that, you know, you're kind of retrofitting to the scheme that you wanted to run and all of that stuff. There's a lot of room for this team to grow more into what it wants to be, and I think the future is a lot brighter than it seems when you look at, you know, the ages and the cap hits on their roster and stuff. They're building to something, and I think I like what they're building to, but it's going to be a process, and we will be here to cover it all. So thank you all again so much for tuning into these postcasts and everything over the course of the season. Hope you stick with us in the off season, because we will have plenty of stuff coming for you. All right. So don't turn that dial, but we'll all see you next time. For Sam, I'm Luke. Thanks y'all so much.
Thanks, everyone.